It depends upon the intent of the user. In summary of the last few chapters, we have traced the evolution of science to the point where it seeks to comprehend the predictability and consequent understanding of the entire universe. Where pure science ends, we are left with a void of creation. This includes the bizarre, the incredible and the fantastic. And while I have sought to enlighten everyone on the scientific logic of UFOs, the phenomena that comes with them cannot be termed to be other than bizarre. It is with this in mind that we introduce the next part of this book, which will include aliens, abductions, and implants. While these subjects are considered generally chaotic and crazy by the news media and some of the general population as well, it is important that these subjects be categorized with as much accuracy as possible. As a phenomenon, they can no longer be denied. I will begin by discussing my own personal experiences which led to an encounter in the Pleiades. Chapter 11, Contact. I grew up in a rather sickly fashion. There was a physical irregularity with my tongue, and I didn't talk until I was about 5. As soon as this was discovered, my doctor performed an operation and I began to talk immediately. In fact, my mother said I was quite a chatterbox. I knew how to talk, but hadn't had the chance my entire life. Despite this improvement, I had frequent illnesses and problems. These climaxed at the age of 12 when I passed out twice as the result of a heart murmur. As I grew into my teens, things didn't get much better. I was far more uncoordinated at that age than the average teenager. We finally found out that I had some form of a neurological disease more popularly known as cerebral palsy. This means that while I was able to think and have an active mind, the signals were not getting to the muscular structure correctly and I consequently appeared to be very gawky. By the time I had reached 17, these problems had cleared up rather suddenly and without explanation. Although I could now physically do anything I wanted, my prior health history resulted in my family doctor arranging to have me declared for F with no examination by the military. It is possible I was already being slated as an employee for the Montauk Project. While there is still no official explanation for my resurgence in health, it could possibly be connected to some very bizarre dreams I began to have at about the age of 16 or 17. The most common dream was this big god who was blue-eyed, blonde-haired and very human in appearance. He would take me with him and we would visit various places. At about the same time that I began having these dreams, a voice suddenly appeared in my head. It was not demonic or negative, but it was very intelligent. I could carry on conversations with it. Although my health had improved considerably, the dreams and the strange voice made me wonder what was going on. I had to consider whether I was crazy, as these were obviously not normal experiences that society understood. As a result, I entered college and decided I would become a shrink. I subsequently learned that most psychology students pursue the subject in order to understand themselves. I definitely was in that category. In the beginning, I was concerned that I might be suffering from multiple personality syndrome, but that was soon dismissed. The knowledge I had obtained from my experiences was too broad-based to be attributed to another identity lurking within my mental circuitry. There was something else going on of a higher order. It was not long before I became the focus of my hypnosis class. I would be regressed and taken back to the times of my dreams. My hypnosis professor was convinced that I was sincere and that I thoroughly believed I had been taken into the confidence of tall blonde aliens who were well built and stood 7 to 7.5 feet in height. Further regressions revealed that I believed these creatures to be very nice and benevolent. I had asked these aliens if they were going to hurt me and they said no. They responded that I must have been thinking of visitors, greys, who do medical examinations that intrude into the body. I don't remember the name of this god, but he told me his race didn't need to intrude physically. He had me stand by a pole from which he was able to do a complete readout on my medical condition. In total, I was regressed about 8 times in front of the entire hypnosis class. This is somewhat remarkable, because if someone tries to hypnotize me today, it doesn't work. According to these regressions, I was taken into the confidence of the Pleiadians at about age 15 and transported to their planet for medical rehabilitation and further education. Whether these encounters were in the dream state or in another constellation, I cannot really say. All I know is that after I had these experiences, I suddenly appeared to have a complete mastery of electronics. This was immediately noticeable to my parents and was most perplexing to them. I also had a guiding voice appear in my mind that would talk to me and tell me where to find answers to questions that I had. Whatever had occurred in the objective universe with these various experiences, my life had changed drastically for the better. I had gained incredible knowledge and a healthier body than I had previously experienced. The debilitating effects from the cerebral palsy even left. It is important to keep these facts in mind when evaluating the relative truth of what the Pleiadians taught me about themselves and their planet. Chapter 12. The Pleiades. At about the age of 15, I was transported on a spaceship to a small base located on one of the moons of Jupiter. I believe it was Europa. There, I was examined and put through a lot of testing. There were no bad memories from the experience. In fact, they were quite good. I even remember eating like a king. I was also shown their forms of entertainment which were very similar to ours. They included movies, video games and the like. It was apparent that these beings were essentially human and enjoyed the same things humans do. I was then put on the ship again for a ride that lasted what I thought to be about an Earth day. I soon stepped into a very lush green and beautiful world they called Alderaan. I was then taken through cities which had tall spires and buildings made of what appeared to be glass. The sky was blue and the visual scapes were breathtakingly beautiful. The air was quite crisp with no pollution. I was told the water was very pure. Long ago, there had been problems with pollution that had found its way into the food chain. This was corrected and they had gone back to the food chain long since. The fauna and animal life on Alderaan is very close in similarity to that of the Earth. The atmosphere is richer in oxygen than Earth's with a 28-30% content. The sunlight appears similar and the distance of their sun is more or less 93 million miles away. The primary difference between Earth and Alderaan is the construction and landscaping. Where we have cities full of roads, macadam and homes, their planet is dominated by fauna and gardens. There are wide plains of grass and forests as well as large areas of primitive jungle. What I saw was an absolutely beautiful garden environment where the buildings were positioned in such a way as to extend the garden. The idea of this environment was that the ecosphere had priority. Oxygen replenishment was at the top of the list and human civilization was put in as an adjunct to the garden. It wasn't supposed to stand out but rather blend in with the garden environment. I was given a tour of the city. The people looked just like humans and appeared very healthy. They did not appear to be controlled nor were they on drugs. From what I was told, the various individuals of the planet did what they were best suited for in accordance with what they wanted to do. There was no money system such as we know. The buildings were erect linear type construction similar to our world except that the corners were rounded. There were no shingles or anything similar. The outside walls were a uniformed surface with the windows blended into the walls so that the smooth surface was maintained. Some of the buildings looked like they were of metallic construction while others appeared to be made of stone. There were different color schemes, but they were all designed to complement the landscape. Although none of the buildings were dome-shaped or round, some of the structures had dome-shaped windows which stood out like hemispherical bubbles. The inside of the structures confused me and I couldn't figure out how the buildings were constructed. There were no panels or joints to reveal how things fit together. It looked like one amorphous wall. I could not see any welds on the walls, and I had to wonder if the whole configuration was molded in a big cast and put into place. The interiors were very plain and usually consisted of a single color. Everything was very conservative with no stripes or cluttered patterns. The furniture was modern but also plain and appeared to be cast out of plastic. The furniture was similar to the buildings in that you couldn't see how it was constructed. They had reclining chairs with levers, but no screws. I tipped one over to look at it but couldn't understand the mechanisms. The homes of the natives were typically single-family units. Most of them were tastefully placed throughout the landscape. Aside from the rounded corners and plain surface, They were somewhat similar to suburban houses on Earth, except that they blended in with the environment. The insides of the houses were again plainly furnished with solid colors. There was also artwork which was absolutely beautiful. It consisted primarily of renditions of the planet's natural settings. One piece of art depicted a farm setting. They had some farms, although much of their food was synthesized. There were also view screens which possessed a sound system, but I couldn't find any speakers. The audio might have been transmitted directly to the senses. I don't know. There were no streets as we know them. Transport was by foot, save for a public transporting device which would send you to any potential location. A port for this transportation service could be found in each home. There were no vehicles of any kind. From the tour of the city, I was taken to what was called an education center. There, I was put through a process which they said gave me the equivalent of 4 different doctorate degrees on Earth. These were in the subjects of physics, electronics, psychology and divinity. They said this knowledge would eventually surface during my life on Earth. While I was being educated, I was also taken to their medical center and put through a testing procedure. They got rid of the neurological problems I suffered from, which would explain why the awkwardness in my own life disappeared practically overnight. They also got rid of the heart murmur. My family doctor proclaimed this cure to be a miracle. He had checked my heart and heard a murmur loud and clear. 1 month later it was gone, but he didn't know why. Further neurological tests were done, but they found I had no more control problems. Obviously, I was very pleased with my newfound friends in the Pleiades. The Pleiadians are just people like you or I, only they are more developed. They have been around much longer and they live longer. They live to about 1,000 of their years, which equates to about 700 Earth years. Most of them looked almost as if they were carbon copies of each other. They all had blue eyes and blonde hair, but their personalities were different. Their dress was plain and usually consisted of a single color. Health problems are virtually non-existent. While I received my education, I would go home in the evening with the chief scientist. The Pleiadians had hobby rooms and his was a lab in the back of his house. It ran along the entire length of the house and was probably 100 by 30 feet. It was very well equipped and incredibly neat. It consisted of super advanced electronics, with only a few of the items having any recognizable controls. This was also the case with the electronic devices I saw in the government and science centers. This man collected old technology in the same manner that I collect old radio equipment. It was his hobby and he enjoyed it. He told me that some of his collection went back thousands and thousands of years. Some of it even looked like equipment you could find on Earth today. Apparently, their research facilities had instruments like ours, because this equipment is probably the most versatile for R&D, research and development. There is nothing that will replace a man working at a bench and trying out a circuit. I don't think there is any question that our civilization is based upon theirs. I even saw chairs that were very similar in operation to the Montauk chair. The chief scientist was my primary guide, although there were others as well. They taught me about their star system and cultural inclinations. There are 6 planets within the star cluster known as the Pleiades, and they make up the society I will refer to as the Pleiades. 3 of these worlds are very much like us in the physical world of development. Orion is the philosophical and religious center. Aldrin is the technical center where science projects and manufacturing takes place. Aldebaran is the name of the planet that contains the center of defense. This is the group that fights their wars and is somewhat of a splinter group from the rest of the Pleiadian culture. They are very protective of their fellow Pleiadians, sometimes too much so. The other 3 planets that make up Pleiadian society are not populated at all with human-type beings. The beings on these planets are pure energy. On one of these 3 planets is their non-physical High Council. These are the 12 super beings that rule the Pleiadian culture. Each of the 12 have an equal say. They literally have the good of everybody at heart and might be identified in our culture as angels. None of the Pleiadian beings question the council or fight with them. It is unheard of. You can understand this easier if you realize that I have yet to hear of a decision made by the council that was not a proper decision. I am talking about a harmonious free society that we would consider to be a utopia. The main reason they have achieved this evolved state is that they developed a collective consciousness which links them all together. This link manifests in the individual minds of the Pleiadians as a voice that can be conversed with. It is not a cacophony of voices, nor does it give orders or seek to control a person. It is more like a companion or advisor. In this manner, each Pleiadian has a piece of the collective consciousness while retaining their own individuality. If mankind was linked in such a manner, I do not believe that there would be any war or crime on Earth. We actually already have this faculty, but it is a subconscious link which we are not aware of on a conscious level. I know it is there because I have personally developed a link to the human Earth consciousness, but I do not hear a voice as I do in the case of the Pleiadian consciousness. If we fully develop this faculty, it would probably appear as a voice. The Pleiadian voice usually just gives me advice or tells me where to find answers to different questions. At times, I can become very exasperated with the voice because it won't answer direct questions but only tells me where to find answers. According to what I learned, the history of the Pleiadian civilization goes back into antiquity. It is over 100,000 Earth years old and originates from what they refer to as the Old Universe. They came through a barrier and entered this part of our galaxy. They settled amongst the seven sister stars which we call the Pleiades on our star maps. They are quite positive that they were a settlement that did not originate in this galaxy. Their definition of the Old Universe is somewhat vague. It is something like the universe that the Creator originally created and loosely parallels the Star Wars saga by George Lucas. The Old Universe was very much like this one. There were problems with it, so we created our own universe, this physical universe, and came through barriers as we entered. None of this is really too clear, and recollections of it are like a genetic memory. Many people pick up on the Old Universe in their dreams. The Pleiadians said they believed in a creator. Any being with a piece of the creator, we would call this piece the soul, is a son of the creator. They said that Christ was a projection from the collective subconscious of our planet. This is the aspect of us that connects us to the creator. Christ appeared on Earth in the spirit of kicking us in the butt to get us going with the creator again. I do not know the entire agenda of the Pleiadians. From what I can figure out, it seems to be twofold. First, they want to help us here on Earth because they believe a very key step in the evolution of this galaxy starts on this planet. They also like to see things take a natural course because they are supernaturalists. Their other agenda is anthropological, in that their interest is motivated by their belief that we are experiencing today what they went through hundreds of thousands of years ago. Their civilization started out much like ours, and they are gaining insights by studying us and other similar groups in the galaxy. The Pleiadian philosophy is very simple. They act with a non-interference directive with everybody and anybody, including themselves. They are designed to be a totally free society. What I mean here is that each individual is encouraged to pick up a mission or job. As long as that job fits in and is productive for the society, the individual is provided for. In the Pleiades, there is no crime as we know it. Being part of a collective consciousness, any crime perpetrated would be against themselves. As long as they are part of the collective and subscribe to the philosophies of the collective, they don't have any crime per se. The only real crime a Pleiadian can commit, and certainly the biggest one, is to interfere with another person or civilization. I cannot stress how much they believe in this principle. If there is an interference, the penalty is death. The Pleiadians believe this to be not only a physical death but a spiritual one too. They are very strict on this point. The above reasoning is why the Pleiadians stock planets with representatives by utilizing the natives on the planet concerned. They make contacts and communicate with the various beings. If these beings agree with the Pleiadian philosophy, they will act as ambassadors. I believe that I am one of these ambassadors, and I am quick to add that there are thousands of us. We are virtually unknown but are injecting the planet with an unknown, to most sources, but very peaceful influence. This is why we don't condone any sort of violence or terrorist acts. We don't even condone any civil disobedience. Of course, It must be remembered that we are humans as well as Pleiadians and therefore can't be held 100% accountable to this ideal. I must point out that while I believe I am an ambassador for the Pleiadians and their agenda seems to be peace and love, I do not have a complete knowledge of the entire circumstances. My Pleiadian contacts have not given me any cause to disbelieve them, but it is not necessarily my prerogative to give them a full endorsement without critical analysis. For example, they believe they were the ones who originally colonized this planet, but others will debate that it was done first by Marjikor Orion. I think these various groups all established colonies here at about the same general time period. Others will also be suspicious of the Pleiadians because of their supposed involvement with Hitler and the Third Reich. This is standard fodder in ufology, so should be commented on. According to my contacts, Hitler was told to preserve the Aryan, same as Pleiadian, seed here on Earth. He was not supposed to kill off the seed of the Pleiadians' archenemies, the Draco, who colonized Earth in the form of the Semitic race. His mission was to protect the Aryans from the Semites and make an Aryan country for those who wanted to come and live in an exclusive Aryan environment. Of course, a lot of concepts and signals got crossed. Hitler did not pursue his mission and went off the rails, to say the least. As I said earlier, the agenda of the Pleiadians seems to be peace and love. I believe this also includes the process of education. We have to retain our own discernment and not fall into the belief systems that mind control organizations try to foster upon civilization. I must therefore embrace my own Pleiadian contacts as bizarre but positive phenomena which cannot be denied or ignored. I have seriously examined this phenomena since I was 25 and sought out objective points of view. The most convincing corroboration that these contacts were real came in about 1991. One day, I received a call from somebody who told me to go to the Gardner Manor shopping mall at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I made the trip to the mall, walked in and everything was fine. The lights were on and a number of people were in the shopping mall. As I stepped from the entrance corridor to the main corridor, it was as if I had walked through a wall. Suddenly, the mall became dark. The lights were off and there was virtually no one in the mall. I felt as if time had jumped. I walked around and tried to figure out what was going on. I soon found a guard and exchanged greetings with him. The clock indicated it was 3 in the morning. I then saw a lighted corridor that went in the opposite direction from the entrance. I now remembered that I had been directed to go down this corridor in the original phone call I had received. Going down that corridor, I found 3 men who were supposed to be Pleiadian contacts. Afterwards, I wrote a message on a piece of paper for my own benefit that read I was here at 3 a.m. I then stashed it in a potted plant in hopes of retrieving it later and verifying my experience. The memories are somewhat hazy, but I ended up having Pleiadian contacts or dreams that evening. Upon waking the next morning, I recalled some of the experiences and decided I would return to the mall and try and find the note I'd left in the potted plant. Upon entering the mall, I noticed the same security guard and spoke to him. He remembered me and relayed that he should have challenged me for being at the mall after closing hours, but for some reason he didn't bother me. Something had apparently affected his mood or behavior. It wasn't long before I got to the potted plant and found the note I had left for myself. All of this verified to me beyond the shadow of a doubt that some contacts of a paranormal sort had taken place. It wasn't an hallucination. As far as I am concerned and based upon the experiences I have relayed to you in this book, the contacts I have had with the Pleiadians are real. Chapter 13, Aliens. Although my contacts to the aliens are through the Pleiadians, it does not mean that we should advocate their consciousness only. There are plenty of other creatures on the scene and in the interest of education, I will inform you what I know of the different alien races involved in our planet. My information is based upon my contacts with the Pleiadians, my own personal experiences plus what I have absorbed from my contacts in the defense industry. There are all types of alien life beginning with the lower order life forms on other planets. Obviously, a low order form of life will not build a spaceship or even a car. In order to build something, a life form has to be able to conceptualize. This takes a being of a very high order. In discussing aliens, I am not going to consider the lower order life forms on other planets. The aliens we are interested in are the ones that can accomplish space travel in order to visit the Earth and elsewhere. Assembling a spaceship requires a being of a very high order with a complex dynamic function, sometimes called the quantum dynamic function, which is commonly called the soul. In common terms, a soul is a being with enough of a dynamic function burned into the space-time continuum to have a consciousness. This means that you yourself are a quantum dynamic function and are partially composed of chaos or, if you prefer, random probability and unpredictability. In computer terms, a soul refers to a self-sustaining software program that can receive, send, process and originate information. We can therefore rule out the lower order of plants, animals, and insects which primarily respond only to instinct or programming. The aliens we will be looking at will have to have a consciousness and soul or soul-like consciousness that can reason, deduct and generate its own programming. There are a number of different types of aliens, but the most common form derives from the mammalian or animal world. These are human beings or human-like beings that are based upon the animal life from different planets. These types of aliens will come from a world somewhat similar to Earth in that it will require the same type of fauna and environment required to support animal life. The animals from one planet to another will have common similarities, although there will be differences as well. A dog on another planet may look a little different, but it will most likely have the same biological status that a dog on Earth has. Besides mammals, you will also find microbes, plant, insect, and reptilian life that are all carbon-based, as is all life on Earth. The reason that Earth-type planets, which contain life that is carbon-based, are the most common is that carbon, oxygen and hydrogen interact with each other more easily than do other elements. To go into ammonia and nitrogen requires a more difficult molecular structure that is not as conducive to evolution. It is for this reason that most life, including alien life, is carbon or hydrocarbon based. The geometry of the molecules makes a better fit. All of this means that the most common forms of alien life will be animal-like human beings. Pleiadians are animal or human based. Their genetic code is similar to that of monkeys. The K group or Crundition, as I believe they are called, are also human based. In fact, they are so human that they are bald. If you put a hairpiece on one, they can pass for a human. While they are similar in height to us, the Pleiadians are much taller. There are many more groups within our galaxy which are human-like. This can include life forms such as cat people, dog people or bear people. These would all fall into the category of mammalian because their genetic base is not that far off from that of a human or simian form. In addition to the mammalians, you will have reptilian-like beings as well as insectoids. Most of these life forms appear to be bipedal and humanoid. Some of them may have extra arms or legs, but two legs and two arms with a torso seems to be the most common and efficient form of life. It mostly has to do with the practical factors of evolution. There are, of course, various mutations and variations that will pop up from time to time. The most common type of reptilian looks like a cross between an alligator and human. One can get an idea of what this type of reptilian looks like by viewing an old Star Trek show where a creature called a Gorn fought Captain Kirk at the insistence of a group of other beings called Metrons, revealing themselves at the end of the episode. The Metrons looked very much like the Pleiadians I have described, except that they were shorter. Hollywood has always had an uncanny ability to tap into the collective subconscious of man, and this is apparently just one more example. Reptilians such as the Gorn are relatively common in our galaxy, although not all of them have such a big snout. Reptilians are typically slow but very strong and usually at odds with the humans and or Pleiadians. They have tremendous psychic abilities and can hypnotize people simply by looking at them. After mammalians and reptilians, the most common form of alien life are the insectoids. The most often encountered form of insectoids are the greys, which are actually a crossbreeding of insects with the reptilians. The greys have the traits of reptilians in their eyes, but their skeletons frame the outside of their body, referred to as exoskeletons. Reptilians and the mammalians have an inner skeleton. There is a famous videotape that shows what appears to be a sort of gray-like being dying. The creature is literally thrashing around in an extremely fast manner.